opportunity to address you today on the topic that is extremely important for your work, but also for my work. I'm all very pleased to meet many new colleagues and to attend this session. I had opportunity to meet colleagues from ENRI on Monday and to exchange views. But in order for all of us to be able to tackle issues that are related to migration, which is a topic, and compact was mentioned as well, we need to have much broader picture. It's not enough just to stay in bubbles or in our own region in order to address these issues. You are probably all aware of the highly toxic discussions about the compact that took place in a number of European countries. This has had little to do with the compact itself, and everything with the paranoia, I would say, and panic that has taken hold across Europe about anything related to migration. Without wanting to diminish the achievements of concluding the compact, as Human Rights Commissioner, my main concern is not so much with the compact itself. It is rather with the protection and realization of human rights of all migrants. Of course, many of these are also reflected in the compact, but action in this area has never depended and should not depend on the compact only. They follow from the obligations that states already have, regardless of whether they support it, reject it, or were ambivalent about the compact. So we need to be careful. We need to really look at these issues also from the point that what do we have already in our institutional frameworks, international but also national? What are the mechanisms and tools that we already have, not really sticking only to the new documents and new resolutions in order to protect human rights, of course. When it comes to protecting migrants' rights, including women and girls, and role of NHRIs, I think there are two key challenges worth mentioning from European perspective. And of course, it's rather important to mention that I cover 47 European member states of the Council of Europe, and the mandate that I have is covering this region. The first is the erosion of the idea that migrants have rights in the first place. The current political climate in Europe is moving more and more towards the humanization of migrants, and therefore the notion that they do not deserve rights. But they do, as we all know, at least here in this room. Exactly the same rights as each and every of us. What is worse, it is leading to a perception that those who attempt to cross borders without permission have called upon themselves whatever horrible fate they face, whether it is drowning at sea, being shot at, beaten up, held in detention for prolonged periods, or being deprived of access to basic services, starvations, and forced to live in appalling conditions rather than seeing these as a result of state action. The second challenge is that states seem to have forgotten how to think about the bigger picture when it comes to migration. The key focus on the current European approach to migration is preventing people from arriving. To this end, many carefully built structures are now being dismantled to make Europe as unattractive as possible, including reducing social benefits for migrants in many countries. Many countries that still call themselves democracies, I would say, far-reaching restrictions on the right to family reunification and other barriers to successful integration. In the long term, this is not only harming migrants, but it's also likely to have a significant negative impact in terms of the economy and social cohesion, which in turn is likely to fuel further resentment against migrants, which is already rife in Europe. The same short-term Eurocentric thinking is driving efforts to get countries of origin and transit to police migration on Europe's behalf. To prevent migration, European states are willing to spend significant sums of money to entire countries of origin and transit to police migration on their behalf. In some cases, we are already seeing this leading to human rights violations for which European countries manage to evade legal responsibility. I think this presents a challenge both for NHRIs in Europe and for those in the countries which act as Europe's partners in this respect. I will not discuss this specific impact on women and girls in too much detail, since we will no doubt take more about this later on, and you will have discussion on this. But I would, however, say that the developments I have sketched may particularly impact on women and girls, including by increasing their vulnerability to trafficking, sexual violence and abuse, both on their way to Europe and once they are there. What does this mean for NHRIs? Firstly, blatant violations of migrants' rights must be addressed head-on. As soon as we start accepting that pushbacks, ill treatments or long-term detention in bad conditions are now simply part of the game, the notion that migrants do not deserve rights will have won. This will require further strengthening of NHRI's monitoring work and strategic litigation against regressive measures. Secondly, investing in communication is crucial. So much of the current situation is driven by highly polarized political and public debates. NHRIs, with their expertise and authority, can make an important contribution to these debates, but they must be willing and able to be vocal and visible. And in this, they will have my full support and solidarity. Thirdly, NHRIs should use their role as a bridge between civil society and governments to ensure their voices of migrants are heard in legislative and policy-making processes that affect them. Migrants themselves may have difficulty accessing the corridors of power, but NHRIs can help them do so, and I do hope you will do it. Fourthly, advocate for better transparency and accountability in migration policy, especially when it comes to international cooperation activities that may affect migrants' rights. For example, NHRIs can insist that their government publish human rights impact assessments of proposed cooperation activities or can help build capacity to carry out such assessment. With this, I would end and thank you once again for this time in order to address the issue that will unavoidably stay on our agenda for a very long period of time.
Thank you very much, Madam Commissioner, for also putting across so clearly some of